So I have a theory that we all have a God box. And if you grew up in the 90s, you remember a song about like putting God in a box and you take him out and go and share him with all of your friends. Anybody remember that song? No. That is not what I'm talking about. I would sing it for you, but then you'd actually have to come up to kids ministry. So I think we all have this box that sets the limits of our understanding of God and the gospel of the kingdom. And we have to have this box because God and this gospel message is way too big for us to ever understand. And so we kind of pick and choose what we do understand, what we do believe, and that what is what makes up our box. And I actually think this is a really healthy way to live because we're on a journey, right? We talk about that a lot here at Saanich, that we're on a journey towards knowing God, a faith journey. But God still wants to use us where we're at right now, and he expects that we actually do something about what we do believe and understand right now. So I think as much as we don't want to limit our understanding of God, we have to exist in the present moment with what we do understand. So each of our boxes is unique because we're all unique. This is a personal faith. And so what we have in here is a makeup of our own personal experiences and maybe how long we've been walking with Jesus and maybe the areas of study that we've spent more time looking at. So what does a child have in their box? Just like us, I think each child is unique. They have their own stuff in their box, but a child has very concrete items in here. So unique to them, but concrete items. So I'll give you an example. When I was a kid, because of experience that I had early on in life, my idea of the gospel message was this. If I believe in Jesus, which meant praying the right prayer, I will go to heaven. If I don't, I will go to hell. It was simple, concrete, black and white, right? Not complete. I've heard other things from children over the years that I've been working with them. So things like, you know, God is weirdly physically inside of me. Or if I pray, God will give me whatever I want. Or I can do whatever I want because God will forgive me. I just heard that a couple weeks ago. You know, Jesus loves me when I do the right thing. There are these concrete ideas. They're incomplete, sometimes completely inaccurate, but they're what makes up a child's box. And the problem with this box sometimes is that this is what I think we share. So when we're encouraged to go out and share our faith, we only can share from what we understand. So kids, the wonderful thing about kids is that they're unashamed of what they believe, right? They will go out with zero filter, just share what they believe. So in kindergarten, I walked into class and I told my friend, "You're going to hell," which is not the right way to do it. But I didn't do it trying to be mean to my friend. I did it because that's what I believed, and I really didn't want that for her. So as parents and as grandparents and aunts and uncles, as a children's ministry director, I think we can all agree that we want our kids' boxes to be just like overflowing with truth. And maybe even a step further than that, we would like them to fully understand like the fullness, the complexities, the mystery of the gospel and be able to go out and share that with their friends perfectly in eloquent language, right? And I hate to break it to you, but that's never going to happen. And that's, I know that because I don't fully understand the gospel message. You know, like I stumble over it so much. I spend hours trying to figure out how to share it with kids at something like our sports camp. And so I'm going to suggest today that instead of focusing on this box, instead of trying to pick out all the ways that our kids maybe don't fully understand the gospel or are understanding it incorrectly, that we forget about this box and we focus on the thing that is going to have a lifelong impact. We focus on building a strong foundation for our kids. So before I tell you what I think that foundation is, let me just pray. Oh God, I thank you that you are so big, that your gospel message for us is so awesome and mysterious and beyond our understanding. God, I thank you that you are that way so that we can worship you, that We can be on a constant journey towards knowing you in a better, more fuller way. God, I thank you, though, that your message is not just for those who are super, super smart, but it is for all of us. It is for the smallest child. God, I thank you that you've made it accessible to us, that in your awesomeness, you are willing to make yourself small enough to fit into our own box so that we can go out and do something with the message that we have been given. So God, I pray that you will just be present here this morning, that you will be speaking to us in a unique, special way as we each have our own personal relationship with you, and that through the words that are spoken today, we will be motivated and encouraged to go out and share this faith that we can have because of what you have done for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what is this foundation? Instead of the box, what is our foundation supposed to be built on? In the book of Matthew, we read about how the Pharisees asked Jesus this question. They're trying to trick him, so they asked him the question, Jesus, what is the most important commandment in all the law? And Jesus replied in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 41. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So this passage here is commonly known as the greatest commandment. But I think we also need to recognize that it's the summary commandment. It's like the most succinct way that we can summarize all the law and the prophets. It's actually more succinct than Micah 6:8, right? Walk humbly, love mercy, act justly can all fit into love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. So this, I think, is supposed to be this foundation that we build our faith on and that we want to be building for our kids for the next generation. It's supposed to be this deep, all-consuming, right? Like, it's not just your mind. It's your mind and your soul and your spirit. Like, it's all of you, all-consuming, deep love for God. That's the foundation we want to be building. And I believe this because I read it in Scripture, but I also believe this because I see it. I've seen it with my own eyes. My grandpa turned 90 years old this summer, and he has been in ministry all his life, some form of ministry, and to this day, he's still in ministry. He goes to a local prison 5 days a week and does prison ministry. And I had the privilege and delight of spending some time with him this year, and as I talked with him, there is one thing that just is constantly flowing from his mouth, and it's just like emanating from all of who he is. And it's this deep love, passionate love for his God. You see, a foundation of love for God, you never outgrow that. It can always be expanded. It never loses its motivating quality, right? Loving God will always motivate us. And so that's what I want to be building in our kids, is a deep love for God that they can carry on until they're 90 years old. That's the foundation that I want to be building. So how do we build this foundation? It's great to say, yeah, that's what I want for my kids, but how do we build this foundation for our kids? I think we can go to Deuteronomy because that's actually where we first see this commandment given. Read it as part of our reading. And so in Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9, we read, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And so we see here this like step-by-step instructions of how we're supposed to be building this foundation, right? Verse 6 tells us where we're supposed to begin. So it says, these commandments weren't just love the Lord your God. These commandments were actually the entire law. So the law in Deuteronomy is being given to the Israelites, God's people, for the second time. there's this new generation of believers, a new generation of Israelites who had not experienced the Exodus. They hadn't experienced God rescuing them from Egypt, rescuing them from slavery. And so the law is being repeated to them as they are about to enter into the promised land. So the law is summarized by love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is being, hey, guys, this is a summary of everything, and what are you supposed to do with it? Verse 6, it's supposed to be on your hearts. So if we want to think about how we're supposed to be passing on our faith to another generation, where does it begin? On our hearts, on your hearts, on my heart. This is where we need to begin. And it's not that intellectual understanding of God's love. It's not an intellectual understanding of God's commandments. It's supposed to be this, like, deep, intimate, emotional love for God. That's the foundation that we need. And so I ask you today to examine your foundation. Are you motivated by your love for God? Is that what is setting you in the direction that you're going in your life? Is that what completely changes how you live? And if you're sitting here and you go, you know what, I know what I'm supposed to do, but if I actually look at what is motivating me, what is at the foundation of my faith, it may not be love for God. It may just be the routine. So I challenge you with these verses from Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if we want a strong foundation of love, we got to make sure we're investing our treasure, we're storing treasure in heaven. And then when we do that, our heart is going to be there also. So where are you investing? Where are you spending your time? Where are you spending your energy, your money? When we invest in things that are of God, are of heaven, our heart is going to follow along. I heard a speaker once who was talking about how you can love better love God and better love others. And he actually said, where you're struggling, actually do the opposite. So, like, let's say you're going, man, I want to love people better. Spend time with God. Love God more, and you are going to love God's people more. If you say, I want to love God more, love people. Spend time with people God loves, and as you love on God's people, that is going to grow your love for God. And so we invest, we have to do something about growing our love for God and others, but that is where we begin. Before we can go out and start saying, here kids, you need to do this, got to look forward, look inside of ourselves, look at our foundation. So start there, growing your love for God. Verse 7, we continue. It says, impress them on your children, right? That same personal, intimate thing that we need. That's now what we're needing to pass along to our children. And it's not supposed to be just tell them about it, right? It's impress on them. So the best analogy I can think of for this is the talk. You know, the one where like it may start out with like, so your body's about to change. You know, that one? It might be awkward and stunted and like make everybody slightly embarrassed. I have friends who have, like, had just books appear out of nowhere. No explanation, just kind of be assumed, like, read this. Or people who've had to just trust the education system, that they're going to learn all about this through the education system. Grade 7 was an eye-opening year for me. I entered junior high and started hearing all these things that I'd never heard before in elementary. And so I'd come home and ask my parents questions. And one day I came home and quite innocently asked my father a question about something I had heard at school. And immediately I knew that I had made a mistake. Like my dad's face just got super red and he started like stumbling over his words. And I realized like he does not want to be part of this conversation. He does not feel equipped to be having this conversation with me. And that was the last time I ever asked my dad anything like that. So I fear that sometimes we can treat our faith and passing on our faith kind of like a sex talk. You know, like it may be awkward to bring it up with our kids, especially if they don't want to hear it. And maybe when they ask questions, you may feel flustered because you don't feel like you have an answer, or you don't feel like you have an answer that fits for where they are right now, like the age that they are, the stage that they're at right now. Maybe you feel it's best just to leave it to the professionals, you know, send them to Sunday school, they'll get it there. Or, you know, oh, these books are well written, well researched, I'll just use this book. But you see, impressing doesn't happen in one session, and it doesn't happen in a weekly program, it doesn't happen in a well-written book. Impressing happens in the daily sharing and demonstrating of your faith. Right, verse 7 continues, it says, talk about that when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. It leaves room for zero excuses, right? Because this is not saying, here is a certain time and place that you have to make sure it fits in your schedule. It's saying, here are all the natural routines of families, right? How many of you get up? You know, how many of you have breakfast together? How many of you sit at home, maybe at a dinner table? How many of you walk down the road or drive down the road? How many of you get ready for bed and go to bed? Like, these are parts of natural routines. Whether you are a family of one, like I am right now, or you're a family of six, you all have these routines of getting up, of driving, of sitting down, of going to bed. And families, I, like, cannot imagine how busy you are. Sometimes at the check-in, I get, like, a tiny taste of what your lives must be like, and I'm overwhelmed. So I understand that you don't have time to just add something else to your lives, and so I want you to hear me really clearly. You don't need to add anything. This is not adding things to your life. This is being intentional about looking at the natural routines that you have as a family and thinking, how can I use each of these spaces and these times to impress the truth that God loves us and that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength? How can we be using these moments to impress our faith on our children? And so if you're going, okay, great, I love that, but how? I don't really know how to start. I have a couple of suggestions. First of all, this is a great book, Raising Disciples. It has lots of practical advice for infants all the way to emerging adults. And so if you're like, I just need some tips and tricks, this is a great book. Unfortunately, I don't have any available at the bookstore today, but next Sunday, they will be there. So feel free to pick up a copy of that. The other thing is, every week, well, every month actually, but they're available every week, we put out these things called parent cues. And so we have them for preschool and for elementary and for preteen. And what they are is they are simple little conversation starters or topic ideas that you can have with your kids. And they actually have morning time, drive time, meal time, bedtime. They go with the natural routine of your life. And so if you're saying, I don't even know where to begin, here is where you can begin. It is available for you. And if you're like, Christina, you are always sending home so much paper with my kids, and I'm annoyed with that, there is an app called the Parent Cue app, and you can download that. It has all of this information, as well as some other resources for you and for your kids. So that is where you can begin. Okay, and the wonderful part about this is that it's mutual, right? As you are trying to, if you're thinking through your family routines and where can we be intentional about impressing our faith on our kids, do you know that you're going to grow in your faith too? As your kids grow in their faith, so are you. You are going to grow in your faith. As you grow in your faith, your kids are going to grow in their faith. This is a mutual thing. So that getting up, walking, laying down, sitting, this is for you. This is for the next generation. So, quick review. We start with ourselves. Our foundation is strong. We impress it on our children. We use every opportunity we can to impress our faith on our children, to build that strong foundation. And then verse 8, it says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. So this, I think, is to be the reminders. Because we're in a spiritual battle. And I don't always think like that. I don't always wake up going like, yeah, I'm in a spiritual battle. I'm going to like arm myself so I can fight. But I realize that I'm in a spiritual battle when I think I can learn something once and have that change my entire life. But when I open up the Bible and I read truth, if I don't keep returning to it, I forget. And even if I don't actually forget, I live as if I've forgotten. There is something going on in the unseen world that does not want me to remember. And so I have to put things in my life that are going to continually bring me back to that foundation, to loving the Lord with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. We need reminders. And so I think these can be physical reminders. We've given our kids in kids ministry bracelets that are supposed to help them remember to pray for their four friends for 4 minutes a day, four times a week. You know, 4 for 4, like you have 5, 5, 5. How's everybody doing with that? We need reminders, because even if we're told on a Sunday, we forget. So I think it can be physical. We have a Sunday school teacher who keeps a Jesus rock in her pocket all the time, has no, like, power. It's just that reminder that, yes, Jesus is with me, and he has given me great purpose for today. So I think they can be physical. I also think they can be just routines. So things like praying before a meal, so simple, but that routine that kind of brings you back to, right, oh, yes, God is the one providing. You know, serving regularly in your community, being part of a small group, coming to church on a Sunday. Like, all these things mean that, yeah, as we wander and we get lost, oh, there's something that continues to draw us back. We can never get too far. So the hand thing, you know, binding on your hand makes sense to me here. Kids are super visual, so I know adults can be visual too. Okay, on my hand, I see it. You know, every time I look down, oh, it's this reminder. It's on my hand. Then it says, bind it on your forehead. Okay. I can't see it. And even though I feel it right now, soon I'm not going to feel it. And I'm going to completely forget this. So what the heck is the point of binding something on your forehead? How is that supposed to remind us? How is that supposed to bring us back to our foundation? Maybe it's not for you, because I'm not enjoying this very much, but I'm sure you are, right? I volunteer at the tribal school once a week, and this past week I was reading with kids, and I read with this one little girl, and then she went off and brought another boy so I could read with him, but she stayed quite close, and quite quickly I realized that she was sitting exactly how I was sitting, so like, I had my head in my hand like this, reading, and I looked over at her, she was doing the same thing. And then I noticed that every time this little boy kind of stumbled over a word or lost track of where he was, she'd be right there to kind of bring him back, just as I had done with her a couple moments before, right? Kids notice everything. They copy everything too. But they notice everything. They notice your routines. They notice when you break those routines. They notice what you prioritize. And so maybe those things that originally, yeah, brought you back, but they've just become so normal, so part of everything you do, maybe they're no longer for you. Maybe they're for those little eyes that are watching you. And before I actually forget, there we go. Okay, so yeah, we need the reminders for ourselves and for those that are around us. Okay, so finally, verse 9. We are going to write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So who walks by your gate? Who walks up to your door? You got friends, neighbors, Jehovah's Witnesses, people that are outside of your family walk up to your door, right? And so we want to be building in our kids a personal relationship with God, but it's not a private one, right? We are supposed to be public with this personal faith. And it's very clear that we're writing on our door frames and our gates. We're not graffitiing over our neighbors' door frames and gates. Actually, Joshua 24:15 basically says, you know, you serve whoever you want to serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. My parents, I have a friend who call my parents Christians. And the reason for that second Christian is because she sees something in my parents that's different than what she's understood Christianity to be, right? They have loved her, that she's witnessed them love others through their love for God, right? That's where it flows. And so she can't just describe them as Christian. She calls them Christian Christians. So they don't have like a fish on the back of their car or like sweet cross tattoos on their arms. But they are writing on their doorposts and on their gates, not we're Christians, but we love the Lord our God with all our hearts and all our soul and all our strength, and we love you, right? So how can you as a family be doing the same thing? How can you be writing on your gates and on your doorposts, we love God here and we love you? And that's what Adopt Your Block is all about, right? It's not to drag people into the church and toss them in the baptismal tank. We want to just love on our neighbors through the love that we have for God. And so Rick Boomer is awesome, and every month there's a cute little mailbox there at the back, and every month he comes out with a newsletter that is supposed to encourage you but also give you some quick, easy suggestions of how you can be adopting your block, how you can be writing on your doorposts and on your gates that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength, and you love your neighbor. That's what it's all about. Okay, so review. We start with ourselves. Do we have a solid foundation? We then want to impress it on our kids, this truth of this commandment, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. We use every opportunity we have to impress this, and we set up reminders for ourselves, for our kids, and finally, we're not shy about it. We make our personal love for God visible to those around us. And that is how you build a strong foundation. And so then what? Like, now we're supposed to go share this strong foundation with those around us. So how do we do that? I think we kind of just did, right? By investing in your own faith, by investing in building a strong foundation for your kids, you are naturally going to be sharing your faith. And that should be a really hopeful message for you guys. It's sure hopeful for me, because the idea of, like, you know, you come to church and people tell you, go out and share your faith. This isn't just supposed to remain here. Now go out and live it out. It's super intimidating sometimes, because it's like, what words do I use, and what are people going to think of me? But if you go, hey, I'm supposed to go out and grow in my love for God, grow in my love for others, and then through that, I'm going to be a witness to those around me. I'm going to live differently. I'm going to sound different. My kids are going to live differently. They're going to sound different. By building a strong foundation, we are actually taking this faith and sharing it with the world around us. I think there's one more thing, though. And we find it a few verses down in Deuteronomy 6, verses 20 to 25. It says, in the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised an oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness. I love how real this passage is. I love that at the beginning it says, when your son asks, not if your son asks. Like, there's a guarantee that your kid is going to be like, why? Why do we have to do this? Why do we live like this? Why do we say these things? And as frustrating as that might sound in the moment, those are questions we want kids to ask. Why are we living like this? Why do we do what we do? And we want those around us to ask. We want them to look in and to see the way that we're loving each other as a family, the way we're loving our neighbors, and go, why? Why do you do that? And as exciting as, yeah, we want that question, that also means we have to have an answer. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. but do this with gentleness and respect. And so we need to be prepared to have an answer. And luckily, we do have an answer. Right? We actually have a better answer than what the people in Deuteronomy had. Right? We are witnesses of what God has done. We have a wonderful story to share. You see, they were, during the time of Moses, they were talking about being freed from slavery. We get to be talk about being freed from sin. They talk about witnessing signs and wonders. We proclaim Jesus' resurrection. They talk about being brought out from Egypt. We talk about being brought from death to life. They talk about keeping the law in order to gain righteousness. We rejoice that he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So simply put, the reason why we build a foundation of loving God and loving others is because Christ first loved us. That is the reason that we have to give others. And so we want that truth to reach far beyond these walls. I want that truth to renew in us that deep, all-consuming, full person love for God. I want that to be impressed on our children, on this next generation. I want the neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, the kids upstairs, that their friends, their neighbors, their classmates, their sports teammates, that they would notice something different, that they would be able to experience and witness this deep, all-consuming love. And that through all that, God's kingdom would just be expanded through us, the family of God, and through each one of you in your own families. So let me pray for you guys. Yes, God, I do thank you for this message. I thank you for your message of love, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you that we can love others, we can love you deeply in response to the deep love that you have for us. God, I pray that you will just be drawing us back once again, drawing us back and growing our love for you. God, I pray that throughout this week, as we interact with others, as we interact as a family, God, I pray that it will just be all blanketed in this deep love for you. God, I pray that that will change how we live each moment of each day, that it will change how we react to things, that it will change how we interact with people who are easy or difficult to get along with. God, I pray that it will be by your spirit of love, that we are witnesses to this world around us. Yeah, and that we will just trust that it is not by our strength, but by your power that people are going to come into a saving knowledge of you and what you've done. Yes, God, we just are so undeserving of your love, but are so appreciative. Thank you for your deep love, and God, I pray that you'll just give us a piece of that for that we may love this world well. I pray all this in Jesus' name.